Good morning. Is it a good morning? How you guys doing? Yeah, that was really exciting to be able to do that last week, because Chris and I have had that in our heart for a while, and we've had it on our heart like, hey, like we need to get healthy as the body of Christ, and you know, we begin to believe in the miraculous and healing, and I am so all about that. But sometimes it's like, well, there's really not a but. I mean, and they're not mutually exclusive. It's just, it's doing what we know to do and what we can do, and trusting Him with what we can't do. Does that make sense? So we might as well get good at some of the natural things that He's put in place for our, like, and in this case, as it pertains to our bodies. So we live supernaturally, absolutely. But like, if we can't steward well this natural thing, like, how are we going to go even further? You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's like a completely true statement. I mean, we can really get you know, strong in the spirit and weak in the flesh. But I guess the whole point was this. It works together. God calls our bodies a living temple. So He does care about our bodies. And so should we. That was the point. Paul even talks about that in, I believe it was Galatians or Colossians, where he's actually taking full on the Gnosticism that was getting like really big in his day, where he's like talking about the angels, angel worship. He's talking about Jesus, and you know, the Greek, like this portion of Greeks, they got so into, you know, the body is all bad, it's all evil, that like they got so carried away with it, they were talking about Jesus not even coming in the flesh. And so Paul had to like just, you know, tear that apart as quick as he can. So our bodies are important, and they may be temporal. They may be temporal, but they hold something amazing. So let's just get right into it. Today, since I have to like always start with some sort of excuse, I always do this, but like I realize that it's almost like you're like bringing out a dish from the kitchen, and if you really talk it down and say how horrible it is, then when people try it and it's good, then man, you're doing really well. I mean, there's no place but up from the bottom. When you start at the bottom, there's no place but up from there, so that's awesome. So my excuse today is this, and I have to start running out of excuses. But like, yeah, so I didn't even know I was on today. So yesterday I was working, it was Saturday, I was working real hard because I'm just swamped in the insurance business. And Kirsten comes up to me and she's like, yeah, you're on for tomorrow, right? I'm like, nope, those two guys from Israel are on. And she's like, nope, that's next week. I was like, oh, snap. So, and the funny thing is, because the thing is, like, this is more of a teaching that I've had on my heart to teach. How many of you know there's a difference between, like, teaching and, like, preaching sometimes, right? And teaching is, like, detailed marker boards for me, stuff like that. And, like, preaching is just, you know, let it erupt. But then, like, you know, I just felt within my spirit, man, that it was like, you know, hey, is that in you? Then teach it. Like, just like preaching. If it's either in you or out of you. So it's in me. Okay, cool. So let's get started. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to learn. And this is so fun. So Lord, I just pray that today would just be fun as we explore the magnitude of the mysteries of the revelation of the gospel and who we are and who you are. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for just, yeah, I don't know why I feel so strongly like just in the past 30 seconds, but we just thank you for restoring joy this morning, Lord. We thank you for restoring fun, joy in your church, in your body. It's been missing. We've been like all serious, but like this is fun. This is good stuff. It's always good. Behold, I bring you good tithings of great joy. So we are entering into the joy, Lord, of the joy of the Lord. It's ours forever, and we never have to come out of it, no matter what. So we thank you, Lord, for restoring that in the body of Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so yeah, I love learning about this. A quick side note, like what I'm going to go over today, and I do feel like I have a responsibility to say this, is that there are different schools of thought within this realm. Okay, I'm going to give you one. But like I want to say that because like there's some things that we were black and white with, whatever. I heard a pastor say one time is really awesome. He says, here we major on the majors and minor on the minors. But like, so some elements of this, not all, but some elements may be one of the minors. So like, don't take every single aspect of like some of the details, especially when it comes to the soul and, you know, just like how things interact, like at complete face value and like, you know, just black and white, okay? Evan, why are you sharing it then? Well, you know what? Because we need to begin to have a discussion. We need to begin understanding the depths of who we are and what he's done. And this is just going to whet our appetite and just be a great, great, great tool to get us flowing. Does that make sense? I love this, though, because the more we explore and learn about ourselves, the more we learn about him. And the more we explore and learn about him, the more we learn about ourselves. It's inseparable. He created it that way. So what do we have here? So the verse kind of theme for today that I'm going to work off of, that Kirsten and I even kind of worked off of in a way last week when we talked about the body and the importance of the body, was 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I love this. It says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we talked about this a little last week, I think, unless I just imagined this because I do this all the time. That every part of us, like he loves and is valuable and it has its place. And so we're going to explore how he created us, because we see in the beginning Eden, we see pleasure, we see great joy, we see relationship with him. All goodness, no bad, no sin, no corruption. And if we really take Jesus and the work of the cross at his word and for what it is, we need to believe that like all the corruption, all the bad stuff is fading away and this new kingdom is coming. It's already here. Okay? So we're growing in these things and we're going to see the bad melt away because God has already made the rights wrong. His name is Jesus. And we're walking in that. So in the beginning, we actually find the three parts of the triune us, the three representations of who we are in the verse that talks about God breathed life. Actually, I'll go there real fast. It's I'll actually read the King James version of this one. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." There's the body. Right? He formed, he had his hands. And he formed out of the soil, the dirt, the dust. A couple different mindsets on, you know, thoughts on that, but that's good. And he created, so there's the body. He breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. There's the spirit of man, the life force, the breath of God. And man became a living soul. There you have it. The three parts. Okay, and so what most people believe the soul is, I know most of you agree with this, it's your mind, will, and emotions. That means the spirit of your mind, your will, because you kind of think of the soul as like the authority seat. Okay, I'm gonna. Believe it or not, this is a throne. Okay, there's the authority seat that makes the decision. Okay, so there's your will, and then your emotions, your heart, the things that you hold dear, the things that you put in your heart. And your body is, believe it or not, that's like a shoulder bust of a person. Your body is you in the flesh, the fleshly representation of who you are, the way that you could interact and engage the world around you. This world is physical, right? This stuff happening physically all around. Stuff happened at the fall. We'll get into that. But your body is the way that you could directly engage. Like we could see each other, right? I said last time, if Gary, so in his soul, I can't see his soul. It's invisible, right? Definitely can't see his spirit, which, by the way, this is the life force. This is the breath of God. This is what charges you. This is the life and the light of men. That's your spirit. and you can engage, like, there's a reality in the spirit. So your spirit, man, if you're in Christ, you're already seated with him in heavenly places. It's the part that engages in the spirit realm and spiritual truth. It is your genesis. It is your new beginning, but it is eternal. It's without time. So it's always having experiences and doing its thing, but we'll get into that a little later. So picking on Gary again. So if I see my father-in-law, I can't see his soul, right? And I most certainly can't see his spirit, but if in his emotions, if stuff is going well and he's very happy, I might see him smile in his body, right? So this is how we engage with the world around us. And by the way, this kind of came to me one time. If we're created in his image, wouldn't that make sense? I mean, this is just proposing here. What if this is the word become flesh? It's the fleshly representation of who God is. And this is the spirit of God, the life force. It goes forth. And this is the authority seat of who God is. His will established. Totally just my own little thing, right? But it's kind of fun because why not? If we are truly made in his image, then maybe there would be some similarities there in the very least. Okay. Bear with me because I'm just going to keep flowing here, okay? And make sure I think of everything that I would have written down if I had known that I was on today. Okay. So what you could also think of, this is what I like to think of a lot. I'm just going to make a little room here. It's not like cut off, it continues. But in your soul, so your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And your soul is kind of like the interface, the gateway, the interface between your spirit and your body. It's positioned there. Think of it, especially your mind, think of kind of like a theater screen. Okay? And so, because when you see here, in here, not here. Your eyes, like all they do is absorb, they reflect light that bounces off of other physical things. And then, and the science here, right? And then in your mind, in your imagination, there's that evil word that we call imagination. But your imagination could be good, and we'll get into that. Because in a sanctified and fully holy sanctified, like Paul says in Thessalonians, whoever, maybe there is hope for that. So what happens is this light reflects into your eyes, right, off of other stuff, and then in your imagination you see me as I look to you in your mind. That's why even when you leave here today, you can see me just like this. So it's too late. It's done. It's already in the theater of your mind. So later, like 5 hours from now, you're going to be like, oh man, like that silly thing that Evan did. Like you could see it again. Why? Because you saw it in your mind. That's the theater. So as you see in your eyes, which are in your body, right, that light comes into here. It bounces onto here, projects onto the theater of your mind or your imagination. And that's how you see. Hello. Okay. And that's how you even dream. We'll get into that later. Although if I keep saying that, I don't know if I'm going to be getting into everything later, but we'll try. Okay. So what happened here is God created man, and we had this wonderful intimacy with God. He made us in him as his image, his likeness, his goodness, his glory, his grace, his love. We were lovely because we were loved. All the things we've talked about, it's the gospel, right? Because when we understand how he created us in the first place, then we understand what's our inheritance in Christ, because Christ came to restore what was lost. What was lost was what was originally created and his original intent and his value and destiny for our lives. Oh man, when we plug into that, it's so good. So we know what happened. The enemy came and he questioned all three faculties. Like he questioned us here, and it created death here, which created death there. Let me explain. So like when we sin came into the world, and we don't have to look far to see the evidence of that. Sin came into the world, and it created this line, this dividing line between us and him. We were cut off from the Father. We were cut off from the relationship with him, and therefore we were cut off from our original purpose, our destiny, our value. We were deceived by the enemy, the prince of this world. So we actually began to lose his characteristics and gain Satan's characteristics. Can I just be that blunt? Because we see that in human nature. It's called fallen man. It's sinful nature. It's sin. It's corruption. It's the old nature. So we lose that. We're cut off from him. And so we experience this death in our spirit. And because of that, now there's death in our soul and ultimately death in our body, right? In that day that you eat the fruit that I told you not to, you will surely die. What happened there? They didn't die right away in the physical. They experienced death here. And then eventually, it changed everything here, right? There is the characteristics of our enemy adopted here slowly because we're living through here, but in here produces like a death finally came. So it took several hundred years to come. And I have this, my own theory that, they had a mindset of life in there, but they didn't know what death is. Like, we live today telling ourselves, oh, well, I probably have about, I'm 30, probably about 50 more years left, the average man. And we're like in this death mentality, which is going to break, by the way. It is going to break. You're never going to die if you're in him. You are never going to die. Because even if they take this, you're not dying. And at some point, we may just get into the revelation that if death died in that day, then maybe we don't even have to die here. Maybe what I see here doesn't die, it just changes. Evan, you're getting weird now. I don't care. This is just fun stuff. This is fun stuff because it takes someone to begin to break through and believe and take Jesus at his word and actually start believing and seeing results. So the theory here is that they were so life-minded, they didn't know what dying in their body was. So it took it took over 1,000 years for people to start when you see the timeline, Nancy, my mother-in-law, she has this amazing map that you unravel and it shows the timelines and you see how long Abraham lived and you're like, whoa, so he must have been in touch with this guy. And it's just amazing. It just lays it all down. And you see these long lives, but then they get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Why? Because they adopted that mentality of the first death, you die. And then it gets more and more and more. So what if it took a little while for them to actually adopt this mentality of death? Now on the other side of the timeline, what if we get so life-minded that we begin to see what we saw in the beginning? Which is people beginning to live longer until life or death is completely swallowed up by life. Just saying. Okay, so, but more of that later. Now that I brought things up that people will read into, and sometimes they think that you're a heretic by talking about this, but don't read into that too much. Let's just talk about this for now. So death happens here. So therefore, when there is spirit death, there's death here and here. That's it. So you die in the body. Okay, so just make sure I'm not skipping anything. I just want to go into a scripture here because we know what happened. Then Jesus. But actually, before Jesus, watch how cool this is. The Bible calls you a living temple or a living tabernacle because you have a tent. It's this thing. It's not that sightly. It's not amazing, we're not glowing yet, right? There's this thing that is just it's stored in jars of earthen vessels, jars of clay, that kind of thing. Just like the temple. So the tabernacle, God said, make it after the pattern you see in heaven. The tabernacle was made and it had skins. There's a lot of prophetic meaning and symbolism to the skins, and we can get all into that. It's the first one. It's like the ram skins, and there's just nothing beautiful about the ram skins, but what it contained inside. That's amazing. But I love the fact that the next skin, I believe, there's badger skins, and then the next skin is red, because it's through blood, it's through that covenant, cutting covenant, and through the blood of Jesus that we come into a greater glory and greater truth. The next skin is goats. I think that that's amazing too, because you know, those of you speaking of the Torah and the Old Testament and the law, you know about the scapegoat. There's one goat that gets sacrificed, it dies, and there's one that's freed. What if that has something to do with, it is no longer I who live, I have been crucified in the flesh, and now I live to, like, you know, in Christ. I've been raised with Christ, right? And then the last, it just keeps getting better and better, because the last one is like this glorious embroidery linen with the cherubim and stuff. And then you have like the indwelling of God, like, you know, the place of glory inside the tabernacle. So this is really not the best picture, but it's good for teaching. It really should be more like circular, because everyone knows. Let's try to make this a little bigger, because this is good. This is real good. Because everyone knows it's not really linear, it's circular. The end looks like the beginning, the beginning looks like the end. Okay, so this is kind of like body, soul, spirit. Can you see it? Can everyone see that okay? I know it's a little small. But watch this. If you were to take a old covenant representation here, if we were to cut that in half, what do we have here? That's a menorah. It's a body, soul, spirit. What is this? The Bible says that just like in the Holy of Holies, God takes up residence in you. And the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you, who you are. You have the Spirit of God living inside of you. Okay. That's a big deal. What I love is this. I'm all over the place today, but it's good. What I love is this, Proverbs 20:27, because this all comes through here, right? Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are truth. Spirit and life. So it's spirit and life. It all comes through God right here. It has to come here. You know, you love me saying, I'm like a broken record. I love saying it's an inside out gospel, because everyone's looking for like, to go get the stuff or go get in the presence or go get this or whatever. And I love that, but we have to realize that it's coming from the inside out. It's like the first covenant was like the representation, the washing and the cleansing from the outside in. But now like we're realizing that it's who we are. I will strike a new covenant and my laws, all this stuff will be written on their hearts. They won't even need anyone to teach them, because it'll be in them. So it's a state of being and not accomplishing. Okay, so Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the lamp, or King James also says candle, which I love that, because a candle means it could be blown out or it can be lit, like that. The spirit of man is the lamp or candle of the Lord that sheds light on one's innermost being. Because what happens is, when this comes alive, back alive, it sheds light here and here and here, right? Which means out, inside out. So I love this picture. Body, soul, spirit, the tabernacle, the skins. So the outer courts. So all it is fencing and skins. It's just like the outer area, because it's what you could see from the outside looking in. You can't see the inside. I can't see what's causing him to smile, but I could see the effect of what's inside of him that makes him smile. So all I could see is a smile. That's the outside, right? But the inside is the soul of man. So outer courts, holy place, most holy place. Some people do it like this. It's more modeled after the temple. Outer courts, inner courts, holy place, most holy place. Either way, it works, and either way, it's amazing. Here's a picture. Sex. Sorry. I just love how it just captures you. Like you know, it just makes that. So, because we're all adults in here. So, it's a beautiful thing because Paul is like describing what happens between a man and a woman. He's like, oh man, it's a profound mystery. Profound mystery, but I'm really referring to Christ and the church. What happens? There's desire, okay? Desire, this is like one of the main points that you can make this morning or that you can take notes of, whatever. Desire is the gateway to more. Desire is the gateway to intimacy. Desire is your open door to more of him. But he's given you as much of him as you desire. It's all there, but it's desire that comes through the door and says, I need more, and I need him, and I have to have that union that's been established. So there's desire there. She opens herself up to this man because they've come into covenant agreement before the Lord that they are one, that they only want to serve each other and live for each other or with each other for the rest of their life, no other. They come into covenant agreement, and then what happens? He comes into her. Okay, she opens herself to him, he comes in, and something breaks. It's called the hymen. Okay, there is that curtain because he's going through, and there's something that is in the way, and it's the curtain, the way to the innermost place, the most intimate, most spirit-filled, most miraculous, most glorious place, which is the Holy of Holies. So that breaks, and there what happens? There's blood. Okay, there's blood. There's blood in that, and there's in a way there's blood in the semen. There's that DNA. There's that interaction, and that covenant has been cut. You know, like we know that like through Hebraic culture, like they used to celebrate this stuff, and on the wedding night or like the next morning or when it happened, they would like hang the sheet with blood on it. Like out to like, and it was an act of celebration because it was the consummation. It was because there was all this energy going into this very moment, and they already made that covenant before the Lord. But there was this point where it was consummation. It was boom. It was established. It was birthed. It was amazing. It was like so that physical representation, that blood, that thing, like that agreement, you know, was made. And then what happens? He deposits something inside of her. And there's even deeper still. There's this place right here. Let me talk about quantum physics for a second. Or at least some sort of science. But anyway, I know this for a fact that they have ways of measuring now inception when the sperm meets the egg, okay? Because there's deeper still, because he could only go like a certain distance, but now it's starting to get like really interesting, okay? Swimmies. They're battling out. They're going up there. I'm just saying, passed through. Okay, and it meets the egg. And as soon as that one cell meets the egg, I don't know if you guys have seen like this is like a newer discovery. There's a flash. Like and they have this machine that's able to like look at it, and there's like this spark. It's like spark. It's like the quickest. Like it's there and it's not. And they're able to see it. And science is like, ooh, right? So now we're getting like spiritual here. So some people say that that very second is when we see the physical thing happening and the spirit of a man, of a person is inserted into that being. Does anyone else love it? I just love this. And by the way, So then there's covenant agreement, there's desire, there's intimacy, and then what happens? Now there's the outward, because that produces something, and there's pregnancy, pregnant. We talked about a few weeks ago how Mary was just an amazing symbol of a Christian, because she bore Christ inside of her, and what she had inside of her had to be birthed, it had to come out, it had to come forth. So that's beautiful. That sure beats like learning this has changed my life. Like someday I'm gonna have to talk to my daughter about sex and all this stuff. And it would sure as well be awesome if I didn't have to be like, don't have sex, it's sin. That's part of it. But I mean, come on. This is beautiful. This is a representation of what happens between us and him. between Christ and the church. This is profound. And so when you're able to speak into the design of how God designed it for us, like how much more are we equipping our kids when we talk about this? Because when you know that this is saved for that special person, I mean, that's a big deal. And we've reduced this thing in our culture to like popping this and popping that and like getting in and like doing all, it's horrible. Like, honest, seriously, God help us. I love how Dan Mueller says it. He says, like, no one counterfeits a $1 bill. So why wouldn't the enemy, why wouldn't one of his biggest attacks be on our sexuality and those processes if it wasn't something very important and very profound and that represented something amazing? That is so cool. So in another way, so let's just talk about what happens. Because in the meantime, God showed us heavenly truths to his people, Israel, via things like that. And it's just a beautiful picture. So what happens is Jesus comes and he got rid of the dividing wall. Like about a month ago, we did that illustration up here with how he likens his flesh to the curtain that was torn. And I held up the flat piece of matzah and broke it. And that's our way in where to the, like through the veil. Because what was interesting, we talked about how that veil had two cherubim angels woven into it. I love that because there were two cherubim with flaming swords that were guarding the way back to life, the way back to Eden. So why? To keep them from coming back in and experiencing that amazing thing, including immortality and life in their broken state. That would be no bueno. That'd be a bummer. However, the curtain tore. So maybe that stands for that way of life with the flaming swords, the way to life on the east side of the garden, maybe it just meant for, hey, like, actually you can go back in. It's just through reconfiguration. It's through rebirth. Isn't that cool? Isn't that amazing? So that is bueno. I love you, Sammy. By the way, I love that picture because how cool is that picture? I don't know about you, but like when I read that, also, the spear of the man is a lamp of the Lord that sheds light on one's inmost being. Most other translations say the heart. So like light, the heart. Yay! Get this marker away from your painting. It's amazing. And I love this. So we were praying this morning and Sammy was like, yeah, we should do like shotgun. Because once you heard about like what happened last night with me and all that, she's like, we should do like shotgun, like preach, like, you know, messages. So like, you know, like we're up here, like leadership, and we're like, okay, John, you're on for this. Come on up here and share the message. I was like, that would be awesome. Good idea, Sammy. Okay. So next week, no, I'm just kidding. Attendance is already a little on the low side. No, not happening. Okay. All right. Sorry, I got to like get watered down and seeker friendly, get more people. I'm just kidding. Okay. This is so good. I just love this. Okay. So Jesus got rid of the dividing wall. He broke it down. Okay. The veil tore. And now we're back to like where it was in the beginning. In the beginning, God breathed on man and it quickened him. He became a living being, right? Later on, Jesus busts in like through the wall. It's not, but he just, and the first thing he says, because it wasn't necessarily, that wasn't the baptism of the Holy Spirit that was to come after, but he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. How beautiful is that? He's saying, this is the new Genesis. The first Adam, was the first Adam. The second Adam was Jesus. And he, and the Bible calls him a quickening spirit. So now, there's the restoration. Let's do this again. And this time, since the death already happened here, and now life comes and life comes and life comes, there is no one doing it. It's done. Too late. Done. Gone. Like, this is life. This is the gospel. So we get restored. All right. And then, okay, I'm going to speak to this again. We get restored here. The church has been doing an amazing job in the past few decades of realizing, whoa, like even though we we don't always feel like it. And, you know, like there's more than just, oh, woe is me, sinful man, you know, because, you know, and they got the revelation of like, don't call yourself a sinner anymore. Full-heartedly agree, because what Jesus like took away, like, why should we live that by that anymore? Why should we identify that with with that anymore? We were sinners. We were full of sin, but he took that away, and let's give him that reward of what he paid for. Because if I call myself a sinner, then how am I going to live as a sinner, right? So we've done this amazing job. Like past few decades, we're like, no, here you're clean, man. And that was like the link to understand some of these scriptures. We were like, yeah, but this says this about me, but how does that make sense? I mean, I'm going on over here and doing this bad thing, or I'm feeling like not cool inside, but we're beginning to grab hold of this by faith and realizing, I believe that was Andrew Womack, he puts it like, I am renewed, the Spirit of God takes residence in my spirit man, and I am wall-to-wall Holy Spirit, he says. Like, I am clean. It is clean. Yay. Okay. What I believe that we're on the cusp of, is that the right meaning of the word? Like, we're right on, like, we're going to go further, guys. Like, because there's been this limitation that we put over us, because what we speak, what we frame up is, it like becomes our reality, right? Man, speaking, that's so good, because your words are so powerful and they like start here. And if out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, it's either coming from here or from here. It's being overflowed. So when it's from here, then the truth comes out of the overflow. It comes this way. And like I, so I'm talking about what we speak about us and how we frame things up. Like you're creating all the time, guys. Like you create. There's a reason why God created the world with words. Okay, so we are creating the world around us every time we speak. We are framing up the reality by which we live through here. So we might as well have it come from here and not taking cues from here. So speaking of that, with the soul, we realize that, okay, cool. So we're saved here, because what was happening when we were like X'd out here, when like there was a spiritual death in our spirit and we were cut off, right? Like we were just left to our own senses in this world, in which the prince of the power of the air, devil running around rampant, spreading his character everywhere, and we're living by what we see, right? I mean, that's just common sense. I feel this way, so it is this way, or I see, and therefore it is, right? That's how we believe. So with our five senses, that's how we live. That's what dictates our reality around us. So there's like this like chain going on between the soul and the body, because of all these years we've been tutored by the world, and we've been tutored by our senses. Paul he warns, he was like, yeah, you used to live like this and whatever, but you didn't learn Christ that way. You're no longer living sensually. You're no longer to live sensually. What does that mean, really? It's not just like lust and stuff like that. It's by the senses, because now this becomes our reality instead of this. Tracking with me? Okay, so these were like bound, chained together. It was all like here is all flesh. It was all old nature. To me, in my opinion, some people say just this is the flesh. In my opinion, when the flesh, because it's all about semantics here, like in word and the correct wording, but when Paul talks about the flesh, like it's the interaction between the body and the soul, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. So your soul, like, you begin to have like a mind of like the world and will and emotion, all your affects, your choices, how you feel. So everything is trained in this way, and it's hopeless, and it's producing no fruit. But then this comes alive, because that word of God, see, Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. So you heard, at some point you heard, right? You read, you heard, whatever. So this the spirit word comes through, right? Ignites and makes you alive here. It divides right through the body into the soul, like so through your ears or however, through your soul, right into your spirit. You are regenerated, born again. Yay, yay. That's awesome. Double yay. Okay? It's really good stuff. But what happens is this has been trained and tutored. This is like not good. No bueno. Right? And of course, by the time I get to here, oh man, it's just not good. Okay? Because this is physical. This bears the corruption that's going on in here when it's right. That's why sickness, that's why disease, and it's not to say that if you're sick, there's something going, like, I'm just saying as an overall picture, that's what happened when sin came in the world. So, but here's the thing. We as Christians, we many times just leave it here, and we say, okay, I'm born again, wall to wall, Holy Spirit, yay, I have that faith that I'm clean, but man, my soul, watch out, dude. Watch out, there's some bad stuff happening in there, and it's very deceiving, and I can't go by any of this stuff that's happening, and definitely any of this stuff, because the imagination is not a good thing, and that's why we're taught at a young age to shut that thing off. We shut this thing off because all sorts of things happen there, because when you're dreaming, because dreams are important, guys, like, we need to, like, literally, like, repent and just, like, change our mind and be like, and stop calling like things just a dream and like not, because we all want dreams and visions, but what are we doing with the ones we're getting? Are we taking the time to understand that, hey, maybe God's talking to us through that blue apple and like, you know, the rat that comes in and like stuff, and we're like, that make no sense at all. Well, you know what's happening? Here's that theater of your mind, your imagination. When you're sleeping, this is definitely sleeping. Dormant, right? This is like just doing its thing. It's like relaxed. And this, there's always things happening here. But it's when this shuts down and the faculties of your mind, the faculties are just kind of like, just kind of at a standstill and stuff's happening here. You're experiencing all sorts of stuff. And also it's like there are things being experienced and spoken through the Holy Spirit, through your spirit, onto this projection screen, and like you wake up, or well, even while you're dreaming, you're just like, okay, this is happening, whatever, because the soul and the body cannot comprehend correctly what's happening in the spirit, and that, you know, that's Bible, right? Spirit and truth, like a fleshly mind, a physical natural mind cannot completely understand and comprehend and judge what's happening in the spirit. Amen. So, but what's happening in your mind while you're sleeping, this stuff's playing on your movie screen, and then you wake up and you're like, what was that? But the thing is, your soul only, like, it's been trained in this, and it's only known, like, pictures and stuff and animals and whatever, you know? So it's taking this information projected, and on the other side, it's what you're able to make sense of. So, like, you know, what's a good example? I mean, like, take any dream from the Bible or whatever, and it you know, even Pharaoh, even Pharaoh's dream and all this stuff. It's like, well, how is that spiritual? Well, it was. And Joseph was able to read the spiritual truths because he was able to interpret based on what happened here. Like, because in Pharaoh's mind, that's the only thing that he has to make sense of that thing that was projected. Does that make sense? So Joseph is able to see or hear of these things, and then he knows what the spirit, like, you know, the spiritual reality and truth that's being projected on that screen. Does that make sense? All right. Like I said, I didn't really practice. Okay. All right. So there's that. And then, of course, there's through the eyes, right? The window, the eyes of the body, the windows of the body. Like, we see stuff from out here, and that also projects onto that screen. And that's, congratulations, that's seeing, but it's all done here. Okay, so anyway, back to the soul. The soul is a very evil thing that's been trained there until we actually take Jesus at his word and the good news and realize that I am a new creation. And by faith, I begin to bring here what's in here. The Bible talks about who I am, and that's my soul too, and even my body, right? There's this thing called the transformation of your mind. So, yes, I can be wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. I can be completely, you know, clean in the spirit, whatever, but in here it's just not a good thing, and here it's not a good thing, and I'm not manifesting Christ, I'm not bearing fruit, but that's not his will for his, for our life. We've spoken about that, that the gospel is so much more than just a confession. If you're here and you've seen the hypocrisy of the church by saying one thing and doing another, or being all about Jesus, confessing, I am a Christian, but not living like it, even falling to the ground under the power of the Holy Spirit and getting up and not living like it, just saying, if you've seen that, I apologize for the, on behalf of the church, because there's more to this thing. So there's transformation. This happened. There are so many scriptures that talk about our mind, our will and emotions, our heart. And 1 Corinthians 2, I believe, if you don't believe me on this, like just read it. It's so good. It's talking about like the old way was, you know, I mean, God said, like, how far above my ways are your ways, says the Lord, my thoughts from your thoughts. But then in First Corinthians 2, it's all about this connection again. And we're like connected. There's like this connection, you know, going on over here, because it feeds into our spirit. And then that light, like we just read in Proverbs, it doesn't just stay there. Otherwise, we're a basket head, right? We lift the basket and it spills out over into our heart. And so we're no longer taking information from here. We're taking on information from here. Like, shut the freaking TV off, like, and get information here. And when you learn to like set this, like untether this and let this be sanctified, I'm pointing to the screen, your imagination, there's some good stuff that could happen over there, over here. But, you know, but we're too busy like watching the world, watching the TV, watching current events. And like, you know, we don't have a problem watching a TV, a thing with like sparkling lights and saying, and making that frame up reality around us, whatever. But we have a problem with allowing ourselves to engage in the spirit and see what happens in your thoughts and your mind when you begin to take this by faith and engage with him. Something that we learned here, remember this, like he comes into her and this thing happens, and then there's that pregnancy, whatever. Here's a point that I wanted to bring across, and the Holy Spirit literally just inserted in my head like and said, you forgot to say this, because this is one of the most important things that we could ever, that we could learn today, is that without this place of intimacy, nothing good can come out. There's no fruits that can be produced. You can memorize, you can recite, you can practice, you can try to accomplish, and all you're doing is taking the law back upon you, okay? The law of sin and death, and you're eating from the wrong tree. So without a place, so it's only the place of intimacy, that torn veil that we engage in, that will produce fruit. It'll produce after its own kind, right? Because that was his intent from the beginning. He made us in his image. He was in us, ignited, alive, nothing bad, all good. And then he says, go, fill the earth with my glory. Multiply and fill the earth. And wasn't just sex. We talked about that before. It's somewhere in Numbers where he says, surely as I live, says the Lord, the earth will be filled with my glory after the fall of man. Why? Because it was never really about making babies as much as it was about actually manifesting Christ, manifesting the nature of God glory and our glory too, because we're, yeah, the glory of God throughout the earth and filling it. So if we still believe that this is still corrupt and this is still no good, you're going to live that way. But in order to produce the fruits of the Spirit, which are already yours, you don't have to try to, like, you know, he lists out all, you know, Paul lists out all the fruits, whatever, and it's like, okay, I'm really going to work on my patience. You're going to fail. You failed right there because you failed to understand the fact that the reason why they're fruits of the Spirit is because the tree produces fruit, and you don't have to try to produce the fruit if you're that tree. It's just going to happen. So you need to engage in the reality here. How do you do that? Because this is the blatant statement right here. Your soul can be 100% sanctified and 100% good. That's not sitting right with some people's hearts right now. Like, I don't care, because this is the word. This is the gospel. Your soul can completely exhibit who he is. Your thoughts can become his thoughts. 1 Corinthians 2, you should read that this week. It's amazing. And by the way, like, your imagination can be sanctified, where even the things that you're framing up, that reality that you're framing up in your imagination, because everyone knows it's powerful, like, oh no, it's just your imagination. Well, Jesus said otherwise, and Jesus said that if you're lusting after the woman, you've already committed adultery with her. What is that? That's the imagination, because he knows that if it's right here, then it'll be right here eventually, if we actually take this by faith. So, and your imagine, like, how many times has an amazing dream been dreamt and something amazing been invented because someone thought it up here? I've done that myself. I've done the pieces, the framework in my head, and I was able to apply it there. How many times, whether it's ill intent or good intent, how many people have imagined, oh, I would love to just to this person, or even murder or sexual sin or whatever? What happens? It starts here. Starts in the imagination, comes out through the body, and voila, it's made real. So this is not a bad thing when it's sanctified. And the Lord has shown me directly. He said, Evan, see what happens when you untether your imagination, because I was told to shut it off, engage with me, and let me sanctify your imagination. And since that happened, I kid you not, like, I have seen, I've learned to see, and what I see, like, I'm like, this is crazy. I'm just imagining it. And then afterwards, he confirms it, like, dead on, that was a prophetic vision. How many of you have seen in the prophetic, and when you really think about it, you're like, how'd that really defer from, I mean, that just felt my imagination. How, you know, that really felt like I imagined that thing, but then it's like, it's confirmed, because it's the same theater. It's the same screen. So, don't be afraid of that idea. Untether it. Let him sanctify your imagination. This is all part of the fruits of intimacy with him. And then if it's like off, then like let it be off, because he never contradicts his word. So if I like, so this is all practice. We begin to like understand, whoa, like this felt like imagination, but what was different there? Because that was really good. And that was real. I know it was, because it was confirmed, because he confirms his word, right? He confirms a prophetic word. And so like you begin to understand the differences, and we're growing in this stuff. But the point being is let him take this. Like don't let it be shut off. Like you were taught the cultures of the East, when they become Christians, and even if they're not, they get this stuff. They understand that this is a very powerful thing. And God is able to move in this way and cause prophetic visions in the same theater. Now, there are open visions. There are trances. There are, like, we've heard it all, and it's amazing. But let him work through that. Like, give it to him. Let him work through it. Be like, God, what does this mean to, like, work through my imagination? Because 1 Corinthians 2 says we have the mind of Christ. Oh, so the mind is not a bad thing if I have the mind of Christ. Okay? That's his will. So what happens is you begin to believe this. Take it from me. I've experienced this. It's just super simple. It's like a kid could do it. In fact, that's why we have to become like a kid. It's like, I read this Bible, and I read, like, this is like a mirror. Okay? The Word of God says this is like a mirror to you. When you look into it, the reflection that you see, though, is the heavenly reflection of who you're meant to be. And then, like, you know, James says, like, you know, if you're not a doer, if you just read it and you don't have it, let it be like affect your life to the point of overflow, then what's the point? It's almost like you looked in a mirror and you forgot right away who you are. So this Bible is like a mirror. So what I did was like, when I grasped this, I was like, this is crazy. So I'd like read, and it got beyond, oh yeah, this is, whoa, it says that about me? That's amazing. But yeah, that's just spiritual truth. That's in my spirit, but definitely not my soul, right? I actually take that for who I am and let that be me. I grab it in faith. I speak it over me. Even if I feel the complete opposite, I'm like, nope, but that's the truth. That's the truth. Wow. Like, what? Because I read it, I believe it, and I'm like, this is crazy. Like, did you read that? Is this in your Bible? It's in mine. Man, that is so cool. You get really excited, and that transforms here. No joke. Like, suddenly you're like thinking with God's mind. Like, you could literally, like, a situation, like, you know, you're faced with a situation, a person that needs something, and you don't have to like go back into the corner and pray for it. because suddenly your very heart is affected by his heart. Like, and you have the heart of the Father and the mind and the will and emotions of God. Promise. It's like doable. Promise. Like, I've seen it happen in my own life. And I'm not saying that, like, sometimes stuff happens, okay? But, like, we are fighting the fight of faith, and we're living in faith. Does that make sense, everyone? Because I know this is like, you know, I'm probably going to get some like, flack for some of this stuff, but it's okay. Like, you know, we're all learning, but this is possible. So the way that this gets transformed is by faith. Same answer with everything else. You take it at face value, and you're allowing yourself to see these truths and take on these truths, okay? And then suddenly, whoa, this is cool. Suddenly, okay, there's this interaction between the soul and the spirit, and the spirit is overflowing into your soul. Then it overflows into your body. And when this happens, healing could happen too. This is like amazing, okay? Because there's redemption even for our body. Paul talks about some deep things sometimes, and he talks about salvation and how he's waiting for the redemption and salvation of his body, like, you know, of who he is. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I thought he was already saved, but he's talking about his body. So, like we said before, someday we're actually going to, we're still like battling this. We're like we need to believe that we could have the mind of Christ. We can fall and be part of the will of God. So we don't have to like try to figure out, God, what's your will, whatever. But we realize that our will is his will when we are abiding in him, the vine, right? And that our emotions, we could literally cry for what God cries for. We could hurt for what God is hurting for. We could love what God loves. This is the Christian life. This is co-union. This is the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ in you, here, in your heart, the hope of glory. Okay, and then when we actually get onto this, we're going to see some amazing stuff happen, man. Amazing stuff, because I'm sorry, but like when I read that Bible, I don't see death anywhere, and death is gain. So if this thing, like, you know, that I see here passes, then I have a more glorious body. So either you get completely, with the Father, completely sanctified, because, you know, this is being trained right now. You know, you're no longer living like this or by this, and this could be a whole nother lesson. Maybe we'll go one more with this thing, but like, you can live by this, but now we're training our senses. That's for the wise and the mature, the Bible says, right? So we train our senses, and this is now taking cues from this, which is taking cues from this. Remember, this is the interaction, or the interface between this and this. Paul says, now you live by the Spirit and not by the flesh, right? One more cool scripture here, and I'll wrap it up soon here. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Okay, and Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So you walk by the Spirit, and there's this union. So then you train your body, and something happens here, because this is one of the mysteries here, is that when you're like full blown and you're in that place of intimacy with the Father, even this starts to change. I guarantee you that. And we've been shown this by Enoch, right? So Enoch walked with God. He pleased God. I believe that he found the way through the curtain. He was here all the time, and it was just so much that literally the material that cannot pass through, and like, what is mortal cannot inherit the immortal. What is material cannot inherit the immaterial. But what happened was there was a transfiguration of his body, a changing of his body, because he was here so much. He was operating in the heavenlies so much, which we can do. Like, that's our inheritance. We need to start engaging in the inheritance, the nation that is ours, right? Because our spirit is already seated there, so let's engage in it. Some people call it ascension. Some people call it just inward, like coming into myself, coming into the most holy place behind the veil. Okay, but I believe that Enoch was operating so much in that his body literally transfigured and changed. We see a similar deal with Elijah. We see a similar deal with Jesus, because he was just so intimate with the Lord that he began the process of transfiguration on the mount. Right. So either the thing that I see now passes away and dies, and then I get a new one, or this thing changes, and I'm brand new. Either way, I'm never going to die. We need to get out of this the death mentality. We need to stop framing like, oh, I have about 10 years left. I understand that for like the planning stuff and plan well, but begin to live in a cultural mindset of life. Okay, I'm not saying like go around swearing to everybody that your body's never going to die, because this has to die. This has to change as to where it is right now. Something has to give. And when you die, Paul says, death is gain. Death is gain. Because why? Because he's passing right into the eternal. But like, why do we need to sit? Like, you might argue, like, well, why are you being so weird and talk about not dying? Well, why are you being so weird and talk about dying all the time, right? Because Jesus came and reversed that whole thing. He reversed the curse. What was the curse? It was sin and death. So the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free from the law of sin and death. That says that if I sin, I die. Whoa. So if God sees me as if I never sinned, then I don't have to die, because here he did. And I already died with him, and now I've been raised with him. I'm going to walk in that mentality. And man, it is so life-giving. I'm just telling you, so life-giving. Like, you can feel yourself getting younger when you do it. Okay? All right. So don't take me like, you know, like I don't, you know, Evan, like, you got to be, you know, be careful with this stuff. I'm just proposing, okay, like the idea that death really did die at that time. And someday we're going to see the full-blown thing. At one point, it took a while for them to shake the death mindset, and it took them like several hundred years, over 1,000 years to die for one of them, okay? And it kind of came down. We settled. But what happens when people really start shaking the death mindset and taking on life again and taking and living the gospel and life? I propose that it's going to do this again. And then you have a complete Hebraic circle, beginning, end. Beginning looks like the end. And that's the story of the gospel. Okay, is there anything else? I love it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for revelation. We thank you for your word. Thank you for solid truth. We just thank you for truth, God. Truth that doesn't sometimes make sense. Truth that goes beyond facts. Truth that is rooted in your heart and the work of the cross. Lord, I pray that against all odds and against all counters and resistance, that we'd be a people who believe in you, your word, that take your word as truth. Lord, I pray that we'd for now on be a people who walk forth where our reality is so defined by you, and even more than what we see and feel and taste and touch. We know your word says, I walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, may we be like Jesus, because that's what you've called us to be. A people who operate and live out of the spiritual truths, out of intimacy, out of relationship with you, in the veil, in the most holy place. We see Jesus in his life, and we just know the things that he can touch, taste, see, feel, all that stuff, smell, did not dictate his reality. So Lord, quicken our faith to the things of the Spirit. I believe that, okay, cool. Just thank you, Lord. Kirsten and I were praying a whole bunch and allowing ourselves to see amazing things one morning, and it was just so good. And I just got a prophetic word that, like, for kind of like for us, but I feel like this is for many in this room, that until this point, you've been trained. You've been being trained. You've been putting off the old, putting on the new. You were beginning to believe for actual transforming change in who you are, aka the soul. And he's been training you in the spirit, and now is the time to soar. I got this picture of eaglets that are in training. And sometimes it's rough. Sometimes the parent just drops them off the cliff so they can figure it out. Sometimes there are up and downs in training, but it's time to soar as eagles. It is time. It's 2018. New eight is new beginnings. There has been a completion. And now is the time that we're just getting that much closer for the sons of God to be revealed. Which means that we're going to begin to live and really know what it is to live in the Spirit. This is our reality, Lord. This is our reality, God. Let it be. Let it be, God. Let it be. May we be a people of true transformation. That's what the world needs. They don't need more people with slick words. They don't need more people with amazing teachings. They don't need more people who could be loud and vocal. They need more people who are in the intimate place who can say to the world, I know him. He says this, and I know it's true because I know him. And you can know him too. I know him. Do you know how much more power is behind your words and your life and your actions when it's because you know him and that's the place that you live out of? This is what the world needs around us. So Lord, we just repent of any time that we've placed limitations on who we are. When you call us clean, you call us the righteousness of God. You say that you've taken our hearts out and you've given us a new one, transplant. I will take the heart of stone away and I'll, in its place, I'll put a heart of flesh, soft, yielded to me, full of me. We take this on, Lord. And we speak these truths over us, God. Move in us, Lord. Stir in us so that we would speak this into our soul so it overflows into our soul and into our body. And then, out. Out. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.